In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen. We hear a very familiar gospel today. It's the golden rule, isn't it? Huh? To do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And why do we do this? For one reason. Somebody, I don't know who it is, I think it's Thaddeus, he makes fun of me. He says, basically for Father Seraphim, the answer to every question is just love. You don't have to know anything, just say love. You'll be right. And that's true. The answer to every question is love. And the reason the answer to every question is love is because God is love, and God had made us being loved in order to learn to love, to become like Him. So everything is about love, everything. You know this gospel well. I only want to say a couple things about it because I want to tell you some stories, some amazing stories about how much people love. It shames us, it really does. Before I tell you those stories, I want you to be aware of the modern affliction we have. This modern affliction is we don't like to think poorly of ourselves. And when we do, we somehow get upset about it. Orthodox Christians are happy to think poorly of themselves because it's just true. And it's cathartic to say, I have a long way to go, that I'm not at all like I should be. That's why we read the lives of the saints. That's why we tell stories about them, because we realize how far we are. But remember that they're just flesh and blood like we are, or they were flesh and blood, and now they are perfected. So we're on that path. So don't be afraid of hearing things that are way beyond your abilities. Don't fall into the modern trap of not being willing to listen to and accept things that show that you're very far from being a real Christian, hardly being human sometimes. It's good for us to accept this. So let's talk about the gospel real quickly. At the end of this selection, he says something that most of the translations don't say it correctly. Only a few understand the tense of this Greek verb. So the proper way to say this is, keep on becoming merciful. Keep on becoming compassionate, as your Father is also merciful. It's really a different state of mind when you talk about that. You're never merciful enough. You're never good enough. You never love enough. And for proof, I want to talk to you about some stories that I just thought about, because they're just beautiful. There's one story. One other caveat about these stories. Oftentimes, I don't remember the name of the saint or the era or other things like that. That doesn't matter. What matters is, does some story, something from Scripture, some event in your life, does it energize you? Does it resonate with you? Does it really change the way you live? There's a sermon that I heard once. I don't remember a word of that sermon. I don't remember exactly what Metropolitan Vitali said. I know the basic subject, that we should have intense love for our flock, and that we should, as it were, bleed for them. And I don't remember anything else, but that was an incredible turning point in my life, hearing about how a priest should relate to his flock. And most influential words I've ever heard, and yet I cannot quote them. It doesn't matter. It matters, does it impact your heart? So, with that small apology, I'll say that there was a bishop once, a saint, and he became aware of one of his flock who had been put into slavery, and he ransomed that man. He took off his bishop's apparel, put on the apparel of a slave, and sold himself for him so that the man could come back. I don't remember all the details. It might have been that he had a family, and the bishop wanted the man not to leave his children orphans. And I believe he worked for some quite long period of years before he finally was able to ransom himself. This is true love. This is the kind of evangelical love that we must try to attain. Which one of us would do this? Which one of us would sell ourselves into slavery for someone else? Oh, perhaps we'd sell ourselves in slavery for our son or our daughter. Perhaps we would do that. Would you do it for someone else? Would you do it for someone that just you were an acquaintance of, that had a family and you were afraid that the family would suffer? Would you do that? Which one of us would do that? Perhaps none of us. But we can at least marvel at how a soul can become so much like God that he gives himself up for God. He gives himself up for his friends. Here's another story. It's recent. There's an amazing amount of good stories of and about and by St. Paisios of the Holy Mountain. I very much recommend you reading his works. They're very accessible and very practical. They're very on a very high spiritual level, but he expresses himself in a very accessible way. St. Paisios had a woman came to him, daughter. Her father had cancer. So she came to the holy man saying, "Would you pray for him that he would not have cancer?" St. Paisios said something completely unexpected and frightening to her. He said, "Yes, I will pray. And I want you to pray too. I want you to pray, and I will pray that your father's cancer would leave him and that you would bear his cancer." She says, "Oh, no, I don't want that." "Well, all right, you're right, that's a little bit too much. Then let's pray that I take half of his cancer and you take half of his cancer." She literally ran away, afraid. Now, he was actually doing this as an illustration, but there's actual real event that I'll tell you in a minute. This is evangelical love. Could you imagine? Saying, "I don't want my mother, my father, my son to have cancer. And Lord, take away his cancer from him and give it to me." There's a story about a holy father in the desert. There was a person who had a demon. And this demon had afflicted this person for a long time. And so he said, "All right, come into me." So the demon came into him. He struggled with this demon, didn't stop being holy, didn't stop doing his normal life, but he was tormented by this demon for years so that that person could be cured. Would you be willing to invite a demon in? Huh? The state of us is that if we invited a demon in, we would be ruined, wouldn't we? We don't have the kind of love and the kind of love for God, period, that we could endure having a demon in us. He invited a demon in. Might sound crazy to you. It is crazy to the world. It's foolishness to the world. So let me tell you the story about someone who actually asked for cancer and she received it. St. Irene. She's got a last name. I don't know how to pronounce it. She died recently. She died in the previous century, not so long ago, about 23 years old. So her father had cancer. I think it was Hodgkin's. And he was going to die of it. And so she begged the Lord that she would get his cancer. And so she did. And she died of that cancer at 23 years old. The father was healthy, and inexplicably to the doctors, they had no idea how he could have no sign of cancer whatsoever in his body. He was able then to take care of his sons and daughters, the many brothers and sisters that St. Irene had. This is evangelical love. Now, perhaps none of us can do this, but we should be aware of it, and we should be aware that this is what we should strive for. So if you can't do this, maybe you can do something. You can approximate this. You can take on someone's burdens, especially someone who's difficult, cantankerous. Those kind of people are the best kind of people to take burdens on for, because that shows that you really do love. There was a woman in Cyprus. I think it was Cyprus. She was a noble lady. This is probably in the 13th century, maybe. And of course, I don't remember her name. And she's a great wonder worker in Cyprus. She was married to a terrible man who beat her regularly. He was cruel to her. She was told by her friends many times, "You must leave him." She would not. She would not because she was afraid for his soul. Because even though he beat her, even though he was just acted more like a beast than a man, her praying for him and being around him helped mollify him a little bit and keep him from becoming completely insane. And that's indeed what happened. When finally he had beaten her so badly that he beat her to death and he went insane. He was possessed by a demon at that point, or perhaps the demon that was in him just had full reign, free reign over him at that point. And he was completely crazy, running about the streets naked and yelling and just being insane. But for some reason, somehow, on her 40th day, he came to the grave and he threw himself upon the grave, and immediately the demon was exorcised from him. And he repented of how he had treated his wife, how he had murdered his wife, and found salvation. Now, of course, these sermons go out on the internet. So somebody might say, are you recommending that a woman should allow herself to be abused? That's not the point. If she has the strength to do so, then I would not tell her not to. But if she doesn't have the strength to do so, and that's most of us, then of course we must attend to our safety and the safety of our children. But this is a holy person who loved someone enough, who was treating her so horribly, she stayed with him for his salvation. This is evangelical love. And that's the point. Perhaps you're capable of such a thing. Perhaps you're not. But you're capable on some level of giving yourself over to another person, of giving your will to another person, of loving a person that does not love you back, of being kind to a person that is not kind to you. We can read all the scripture in the world about this, and we can talk about God is love, and therefore we should love, and I say that probably almost every day. And that's true. That's the basis of it. But it has to be lived in order to be powerful in you. It's not just ideas. It's not just theological facts. This is our way of life, to love our brother with no regard to ourselves. May God grant that we have this ability, even in a small way, to give ourselves over to other people, such as those that we've talked about this afternoon. Remember that we will become children of the highest if we love like this. There is no greater privilege, no greater dignity than to be children of the highest. And this is how you become a child of the highest, by love. By loving those who don't love you. God help us to love. Amen.